Our Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your presence, your goodness, your manifestation. We thank you for the saints that are assembled here. We thank you for the saints that are watching with us. And Father, I want to say a prayer for the servicemen and women, those that have gone before us, those who have sacrificed, those who are serving, those who are living a life of protecting our incredible nation, the United States of America. I refuse to ever agree with those who are haters. I choose to love my country, love my government and my flag. And I just thank you right now for the privilege to live in the United States of America and to be free. I thank you for it today. I pray that someone would recognize and understand that it's a blessing to be in the United States of America. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, my parents are from Ukraine. And I experienced horror yesterday watching Saving Private Ryan again. I watched it at least on TV. Oh, well. Okay, well. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so when I mention something, it's always because it's not TV and they cut all the stuff, bad stuff out. But the horrors of war, the price that is paid, the price that's been paid to live in freedom, to live in this country, to live in this city. There's so many that don't know or comprehend or believe it. Maybe, you know, again, I go back and I bring this up regularly, is that my parents, the stories of running from, you've got all these nations in World War II colliding. The Russians are coming from the USSR and the Germans are coming and all these nations are coming together. And my parents, who are peasants in the Ukraine, have to just pack a stick in a bag. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but just take what you can and run. Never see your farm again. Never see your animals again. Never see anything again. And make your way across out of the Ukraine into Europe and across Europe, and to come across on a ship, and then to come to the United States of America to live here in freedom and enjoy what we have. So I could blow the trumpet a lot, but I don't. But I know, I hear, I understand the suffering, and some of my on TV was Saving Private Ryan, and it's horrible, you know, landing on Normandy, and then fighting through to beat the Germans. Horrible. War's horrible. I hate war. And I might have been a soldier, except I am a soldier. I'm a soldier for Jesus Christ. And so if I say something that you go, how could he say that? It's because I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I will say what needs to be said if I believe it's what needs to be said, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. To those who believe it, to those who take it seriously, there's a lot of serious things going on in this day and age in life. And, you know, I don't want to get super serious on you. I know I'm serious already, but, and we'll lighten it up as we go, but it's just so incredibly important that we understand that there's a price. There's a price. There's always a price. And if you just don't understand the price and you take everything for granted, then, you know, you need your eyes opened. And so there's a price, obviously. That's why we're Christians. There's a price that Christ paid for you and I, and most people on earth don't consider any price paid, and they assume that they have to just trudge through life, press through life, and get what they can when they can get it, and all those things. But we understand, and we're grateful for the fact that Jesus Christ paid the price for us to have eternal life, to live this life with the hope and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. But to live that way, to live that way, to make the choice to live that way, not to just come to church, but to live that way and to believe and to know that this is a puff. Just one more story, war story. In Saving Private Ryan, the beginning is Normandy, and it's horrifying. And it, you think, okay, be done and move on, and it doesn't. And hurry up, move on, and it doesn't. And it's just one after another, after another, after another. It's a price that was paid. And so turning our attention to Jesus Christ, turning our attention to our Lord and Savior, and we just got over the holidays and knowing the price that Christ paid in his suffering and the price, and you know, Nancy, you mentioned, Pastor Nancy, you mentioned it when, you know, in the heart of the earth, you know, you mentioned that in your commentary, that Christ in the heart of the earth, 3 days and three nights. He wasn't eating pizza. He wasn't playing cards. He wasn't kicking back with the boys. Jesus Christ suffered for you and for me. Yeah. And thank God that you and I don't have to suffer. You and I don't have to, we don't have to pay our own price. You know, sometimes we go, well, Christianity is no cakewalk. Well, if you knew the costs, you'd be appreciating. And that's what key, one of the keys of our faith is to appreciate and be grateful and to have joy and to celebrate and to speak it out of our mouth and choose to do it, to say thank you, to say I'm grateful, to say you did it all for me and I'm strengthened with might by your Spirit in my inner man. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Say the scriptures. Every Christian, especially the ones that are in this church. If you come to this church, you've heard me say it probably every Sunday and Wednesday and any special meeting since you met me. To speak the Word of God, to memorize the Word of God, to read the Bible, to find scriptures, to mark them down, to highlight them. You know, there was a time in my life where I went to the same scripture every day for probably could have been up to a year, every single day going to the same scripture because I wanted to get that scripture in my heart. How do you get scripture in your heart? You stay in it. You stay in it. You write it down on a piece of paper. Do I have a piece of paper in my pocket? I don't have one in my pocket right now. But there's always a scripture on my mind. And the reason it's on my mind, it's reason it's on paper, it's a reason it's written everywhere I go, is because I want to memorize that scripture, because through memorization leads to getting the scripture in your heart. So the question to you is this, and somebody, I'm sure somebody will go, oh, come on. But if you can't quote it, then you don't know it. Thank you. If you can't quote it, you better have one. You better have three. It'd be good to have five. It'd be great to have 50 memorized verses. Where do I start with to memorize 50 verses? Start with one. Could we call you up a single file, one at a time, hand you a microphone, and you quote a scripture? And if you can't, I ask you why. Because what it tells me, if you can't quote a scripture, now I'm stepping on everybody's toes today. It's Memorial Day. I've been watching soldiers and war, and so I'm toughened right now, and I'm challenging, and I'm willing to suffer your wrath. If you get mad at me, Pastor Steve again, But if we called you up single file and said, quote a scripture for us, and you can't, then you get a kick in the butt and you go to the back of the line. Because we're not playing church. If, and here I go again, Normandy, D-Day, if that's just a fractional, just tiniest little taste of eternal warfare, What is the reality of my Christianity? But thank God Christ went to hell. He who ascended, now listen to me. He who ascended, that's not even on my page, ascended also descended into the lower parts of the earth. Pastor, you said it when you were up here talking, that Jesus Christ went into the torment compartment of hell. Hell was one big circle in the center of the earth, divided with torment and paradise. Back before Christ died, that was what was going on in the center of the earth. Nobody went to, they went down and waited. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the patriarchs, all the saints, anybody that went, they went down there and they waited for the soon coming Messiah. And when Messiah died on the cross, Jesus Christ, he who ascended also descended into the lower parts of the earth. And in hell, Jesus gave us an example of hell. He said the rich man and the beggar, Lazarus was a beggar in life, and he had sores and the animals licked his wounds and people walked by and they kicked him when he was laying there by the gates begging for money. But when Lazarus died, the angels came and carried down into Abraham's bosom, which is the righteous compartment of hell. And when the rich man died, he went into torment. And when Jesus went in there, he said, Jesus said, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water that he might cool my tongue because I'm in torment in this fire, in this flame. Ask yourself, would Jesus exaggerate or lie? No exaggeration, no lying from the perfect Son of God who never sinned. There was torment, fire of hell on one side, and there was from the great gulf of which you could see from one side to the other, you could see that there were people in paradise called Abraham's bosom. And Christ died on the cross and liberated liberation. What is liberation? That's what D-Day was all about. Here I go again, but I don't, it's on my heart and mind. It was liberation. The Germans were insanely crazy to want to take over the world and wipe everybody out, wipe every Jew off the face of the map. The Japanese wanted to wipe all of America off the face of the map. And Jesus Christ defeated the author of the pain, the author of the suffering, the author of the darkness, the author of everything negative in this world. And Jesus went down and accepted for you and me for 3 days and three nights. He was in the heart of the earth. And so many Christians say, oh man, he was down in paradise. He was just partying with Abraham and the boys. And my opinion is, he who ascended also descended into the lower, lowest part. And so after the price that Christ paid was fulfilled, he rose again from the dead. And he said, I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he stood victorious, said, believe in me. I am he. And so now we believe in Jesus Christ, but now I'm always going to challenge us to live it. I'm going to call somebody out every single Sunday, every single Wednesday, every single meeting we have. We're going to call somebody out to live it. To live like you mean it. To live as an example. To set an example. You know, I cut people slack if they don't go to good churches, if they don't preach the word, if they, you know, if they don't really know anything about the Bible and they try to be religious and they try to, you know, do right. But if you go to a good church, and there are so many good churches in this Twin Cities, in this downtown and around, there's so many good churches that preach the word of God. So we're caught here, a beautiful baby talking or crying out there. Hi, Kara. There's so many that preach the word of God. And therefore, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. The consequences are deceiving yourself. And I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be in deception. It's embarrassing when you're deceived and you get called out. If you're deceived and you get called out, you're embarrassed. You realize, wow, somebody called me out. And so what if I were the kind of, sometimes there are churches where they'll call you out. Call you out. Just say, hey, I saw you down there. You were at the club or you were at the strip joint or you were smoking weed behind the building or you were passing the bottle around with your boys. Now it's a holiday weekend in that regard that we recognize that we are incredibly blessed to live here in Minneapolis and wherever you are watching, welcome. We're blessed to live in these suburbs and to have the freedom to have this incredible, beautiful facility that God has provided for us and all the beautiful saints that come here and serve here and give here and do the work of the ministry here. God bless you and thank you for all you do. Sometimes I forget to appreciate my wife and everybody else that does the great things around here, the two of you that are sitting at the controls there. And so praise God. All right, let's get back to the Word of God that having an attitude of gratitude. I am rather serious today, just based on taking this stuff, this holiday. You know, it kind of gets to me every year. But it doesn't have to get to you. You can do whatever you want with it, but I choose to have an attitude of gratitude. I watched Saving Private Ryan. It's about 4 hours long with the commercials and stuff. But man, is that incredible war movie. But Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like fire, says the Lord. Now, I've said this a couple weeks in a row now. It's like a hammer that breaks the rock. Small r because Jesus is capital R. Very important words from the King James Bible based on the amount of time it's used. The word fire occurs 549 times in 506 verses in the King James. Fire is in the Bible 549 times. That is a serious subject. I haven't checked to see who has the most, but fire is common. That's besides the word sword occurs 424 times, a sword, in 384 verses. Rock occurs 119 times in 106 verses. Shield occurs 27 times, and hammer occurs 7 times. Is not my word as fire? Is it not a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? These five different words are describing the Word of God and the Lord Himself. In prayer, by faith in His Word, we have authority in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, that we can, whatsoever you bind can be bound, and whatsoever you loose can be loosed, if you have faith. If you have faith in the Word of God, you'll do it. And if you won't do it, then you don't have faith in it. Because if you had faith in it, you'd do it. And so the Bible says, Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth. Well, someone said, well, is that applicable to the New Testament church from the Apostle Paul? But binding and loosing is a command from Jesus Christ. And he said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And so when we are faced with circumstances, we're not left defenseless. We have weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds. So we use these weapons that are provided, and one of them is binding. Whatsoever you bind is bound. And so when we face negativity in our home or in relations or whatever in the situations of life or even anything we recognize going on, we use our faith. Now, do you use your faith to use it in circumstances that show up on the national news or the international news? We do. Why? Because whatsoever you bind is bound, and whatsoever you loose is loosed. Well, it depends on your faith. If you have great faith, then you can do it. Well, develop your faith. How do you develop your faith? Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Stay close to the Word. If you go to the Word once a week, or not even once a week, you're in the Word, then you don't have great faith. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What that means is faith comes by being in the Word. And it will grow. And now that you're reading it, you're studying it, you're learning it, then all of a sudden I'm a doer of the word. And as a doer of the word, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And so now you're binding and you're loosing. Do you really think that works? Hey, you know what? I believe Jesus, and I don't agree with logical criticisms and arguments. Logical criticism and arguments against the Word of God. If you come with logical logic to me, and you're really bright, I'll probably grant you whatever you said, because, you know, in the argument, because, you know, I respect opinions. But when it comes to the Word of God, I'm not bending. I'm not backing off. I'm going to hold my ground. If I know what the Word of God says, I'm going to hold my ground. I'm going to hold fast. That's holding your ground, is holding fast to your profession of faith without wavering. Thank you. Without wavering. Wavering means did it or didn't it? Will it or won't it? Can I or can't I? That's wavering. I'm not going to waver over the Word of God. I'm going to take it and believe it and act on it and use it to my advantage. God gave us the weapons of our warfare to use to our advantage. There are things that God gave you to use to your advantage. What do you mean to use to your advantage? To make your life better. God gave us tools to make our life better. But I thought I was supposed to suffer in life. I thought I'm just trudging through, trying to get to the other side. Why not take the gifts, callings, and the scriptures and the Word of God and use it for the betterment of everything you put your hands to prosper? How is that ever possibly negative? That the Bible says, whatsoever you put your hands to will prosper if you're a doer of the Word. That means that good stuff can happen if I just go forth in the Word. I'm going forth in the Word. I'm going forth in life. I'm going to believe. And I'm believing right now. This is high-level stuff, to believe that whatsoever you put your hands to will prosper. That just means that somebody, and I know many of you believe it, many of you believe it and you act on it. How do you know if somebody believes it and acts on it? They'll say it. They'll say it at some point when you're hanging around with some of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Instead of talking about the latest local band or what's going on and where and what, they'll say, the Bible says, whatsoever we put our hands to can prosper. That means that. That's where I get this. Where do you get this blessed in the city and blessed in the field and blessed coming in and blessed going out and blessed everywhere you go? Because you couple some of these verses together. And then if I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field and I'm blessed where I'm going, and it's because everything I put my hands to prospers, and I have faith in God's word, I'm a doer of God's word, and I live by God's word, and I have the fear of God. There's another one right there. Boom. Okay, maybe I take this stuff seriously, but I'm lacking in the fear of God. You might want to take, you know, if you got these slots, you know, you might want to take that one up and put it up on top, the fear of God. Because if I walk in the fear of God, I'm not going to use the power that's available to me for dumb stuff. Now, I didn't say fun stuff. I said dumb stuff. Dumb stuff is just me, myself, and I. And you know what? I don't feel that God cares that if you have good, fun things in life and enjoy life. The Bible says Jesus came to that you might have life and enjoy it to the full. The several scriptures say it that way. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, and that abundant life is to enjoy life to the full. So enjoying life to the full does not mean that I suffer every single day and that I'm always miserable and that I'm always, always just really fighting a spiritual battle. No, we fight to win. Winning is so much better than fighting and losing. Winning, we win in life by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ won. Jesus Christ paid the price. Jesus Christ said, I could walk in his footsteps. Jesus said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are added unto me. What does that mean? It means that I put God first place in my life, and all those other things are added unto me that I need in this life. I trust him. I believe him. And I am a doer daily. Amen. Daily. Oh, man, bro, don't bind me up now. I've heard that before. Don't bind me up. I'm not binding you up. I'm telling you how to be successful. I'm telling you how to stop being a failure. And somebody goes, well, I'm not a failure. Well, let's examine your private life. Maybe not outwardly, you might not be a failure, but let's examine everybody's private life. If I stood here and my private life was exposed, what would people see? Well, I can tell you that I'm in the Word every single day. I spend time in fellowship and communication on a regular basis with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. My efforts to be a doer of the Word sometimes in my relationship to my wife is maybe a challenge. Because all of you know that she's challenging. She's tough. She's tough. She reminds me of military. I mean, it's not like bummer tough. I mean, it's just like, you know, if you're slacking, she'll say you're slacking. It's embarrassed to be called a slacker. But she knows where she's going to find me at 6 a.m. in the morning. Yep. I'll be in my office in the Word of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God has blessed us. God has helped us. God is amazingly good to us. And there's reasons that he said why that happens. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If we do these things that we're talking about, and then I've at the top of my sheet, that's how far I've gotten, one line at the top of my pages, it says, attitude of gratitude. All right, so if you have an attitude of gratitude, even during challenges, even during suffering, even during a season. You know what's so great about seasons? They change. In this town, in this state, seasons change every 3 months or so, whatever, you know? So Bible says that seasons change. All right, so getting back to my word, my scriptures here, give you some word today. For the last couple of weeks, Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word as a fire, like a hammer. So we talked about hammers, and then I got a note here about binding and loosing. And in prayer, Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatsoever you loose on earth is loose. And so I challenge someone who's on the precipice, just means they're on this edge of stepping up to begin to bind and loose. You're growing, you're learning, you're hungry for God, and you're not sure what you should do next. Well, step up with believing that what you bind in faith, in the name of Jesus, is bound. See, I don't go and bind stuff in Steve's name. That's weird. But whatever I bind in Jesus' name, and whatever I loose in Jesus' name, because he said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And so the connection to heaven is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the Word of God, and therefore I'm always going to keep it in that framework. Now, some people have, I know people that just use it as a part of their life, but I'm always going to keep God involved in it. I'm always going to keep God involved so that I'm always leaning on God. I believe I have faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And so I believe I have faith, and so that I could bind something and loose something in that sense. But I'd rather use the name of Jesus in anything and everything I do. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over that situation. God has given us authority on earth. I take authority and I bind that negativity or that ugliness or that bad situation, and I loose, according to the Word of God, whatever it is that will supersede that in betterment. I don't even know if those words are correct, but that's just trying to explain binding and loosing. And so now what I do is, under my breath, I bind that. I loose that. In Jesus' name, of course. Because if I'm up against opposition or criticism or attack or rebellion or danger. How about danger? Let's. Everybody can relate to danger. You might not sure if you're relating to me and some others, but danger. I bind that in Jesus' name. Why? Because use what you have. God said, use what you have, I'll give you more. So if you use the faith you have in that word, that whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I just had a picture of coming home on East River Road, just south of 694, one night after the club closed. It was about 2 a.m. in the morning, and I'm driving down, and it's dark everywhere. I'm the only car on the road, and a car pulls up to me with three guys across. It's an old car. It all had the straight seat in front and a straight seat in back. It had three guys in front, three guys in back, and they pulled up next to me, and I looked down, I went, oh brother, and I slowed down, and they slowed down, and I sped up, and they sped up, and it's back and forth. I'm playing this game with these six guys, and they looked, all of them looked like they just escaped. What do you do? Lord, I need your help. That's what I said. And I look down next to them because I'm up in the second lane, and I look over, and the red light on the front of their dashboard goes on. The red light means their engine killed. And they went, and they slowed down, and I went home praising God. Well, I don't know what would have happened. Somebody could have just been taunting me, tormenting me, trying to make me afraid, or they're going to take my vehicle and dump me. I don't know. I don't fear that. I don't live in fear. I'm not afraid of the world. You get bad with me. Ha! No, but not in that circumstance. I'm going, Lord, I need help. Christians, Lord, I need help should be every single day, every single hour if you want to, every single minute if you want to, and I know you can't do it every single second, but Lord, I need your help. Okay, then what happens? You need to develop faith in the Word of God so that when you say, Lord, I need your help, you've got the faith that rises up is in you, because without faith, it's impossible to please him, for they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I'm diligently seeking you, Lord. I need your help. And he rewards me in that circumstance. Rewards are all different flavors. A reward, a minuscule reward, can be deliverance in a circumstance which seems minuscule, but could be life or death. Lord, I need your help. What did Jesus say? I could call 10,000 angels. And so I believe when I say, Lord, I need your help in Jesus' name, I wouldn't doubt that if I saw into the spiritual realm, 10,000 angels come to my aid. You really believe that kind of stuff? You don't believe this kind of stuff by watching current event. You get it by being in the Word. You get it by listening to preaching, teaching the Word, spending time consistently in the Word, because the objective is to build your faith up. So that in circumstances, right now, thank God, the grace of God protects us and everybody's happy. But when a circumstance arises and you need to believe for protection or health or victory or deliverance, health, deliverance, protection, you want to have the reserve. Okay, so let's take that. The reservoir. The reservoir is a reserve for circumstances that are negative. Down south in other places around the world, they have reservoirs. And they fill them up with water so that if there becomes a shortage or a circumstance, they have a reservoir to draw from. So as a Christian, I want a reservoir in my life of faith. I don't want to read a scripture once in a week and expect that scripture to fill my reservoir. My reservoir is a trickle on the opposite end that when you block it off, that trickle just kept trickling and trickling and trickling and trickling and trickling. And pretty soon it began to grow and grow and grow. And they've got a dam down here. And the dam, what are you building a dam for when the thing is just a trickle down here? Because that trickle, when you build the dam, makes a reservoir of water that is 50 to 75 to 100 feet deep of pure water that goes from half a mile that way to a half a mile that way or bigger. So why am I in the Word every day? It may seem like a trickle. Trickle here, trickle there, a scripture that I read this morning and I wrote it down and put it in my pocket and you go, what can that do? That trickle is building into the reservoir. And pretty soon that reservoir gets 100 feet deep and a mile across. And if I need water, if I get in trouble, I need something, I've got a reservoir built up in my life. My challenge isn't a criticism. It's every one of us are a trickle, but if we stick to it, if we're doers of the Word, if we put God's Word first, if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then the reservoir will expand. And pretty soon, that tiny trickle, I don't need it yet. I don't need it right now. But when I need it, I got a reservoir built up in my heart. And when trouble comes, Father, I thank you that you said. And when I go to heaven in the name of Jesus and say, Father, you said, I know that there's a reservoir of life. There's a, not me, there's just a reservoir of life. There's a reservoir of power. There's a reservoir of goodness. There's a reservoir of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's here. But there's an untapped universe of power available when I make the effort to build a reservoir in my life based on God's word. So what am I saying is that I got 3 pages to go here. Is that each of us somebody made a comment to me and I liked it, but they said, you give more scripture in one message than other places give you in a month. And I thought, maybe, Steve, you're just... At first, you examine yourself. But then when you get peace on the inside, just go, praise God, I'm glad. I'm glad that we have the Word of God. I'm glad that we preach the Word. I'm glad that we stand on the Word. I'm glad that every single time I stand in this pulpit, I'm not going to patty cake with you. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to get into the Scripture daily. And if you can't find a place, go to Proverbs one at a time. Just get a proverb a day. Pretty soon you're going to go, what does that Proverbs mean? Maybe I can find more about this in another place. And then you're going to go out there and you're going to start to study and search. And pretty soon you're going to expand. You go, oh no, the clock, I got to get to work. And I just spent an hour studying. And it's one of the greatest things in life that you started out just looking in the Bible and you ended up in an hour study. That's called fruitfulness. That's called strengthening with might by His Spirit in your inner man. It comes through the Word of God. Now, some are very, very committed to prayer. I talk to God all the time, so I could say I pray all the time. But I gotta have the Word. The power's in the Word. And when you have the power from the Word coupled with your prayer, then you have faith in prayer. It's got to be based on the Word of God, because if you base your prayers on you, Satan will say, who are you? You can't get your prayers answered because you're you. And then you come back at him and said, I am standing on the Word of Almighty God. And everything that I put my hands to prospers. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And I could go on and quote scripture to the enemy. And guess what? As soon as he hears one or two or three, he's gone. He hates the Word. He hates the Word. Sam, what is Hebrews 13:8? I'm reading it backwards. What does it say? Oh, just same yesterday, today, and forever. I know that. Okay, so He's the rock. He doesn't change. Every single day. He's supernatural. He's the God of the universe. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Word of God. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the epitome. And so when I stand on His Word and I need help, He gives us the weapons of our warfare. And one of them is, whatsoever you bind is bound. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And so if it's bound and loosed in heaven, according to what you're believing, then obviously it is here too. So whatsoever I bind is bound. I say it in the name of Jesus. I say I take authority over that situation in the name of Jesus. And if it's something that is not good, I say I bind it. Now, who's And I know I look at many of you in here, you do it all the time too. But then there's some that are here, they don't do it at all. And it's a matter of faith. If you see it and you believe it, you can have it. Therefore, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. They're supernatural. One of the weapons is whatsoever I bind is bound, and whatsoever I loose is loosed. So those circumstances that are coming against me, first thing I do, in the name of Jesus, I pray the blood over that situation, and I bind that in the name of Jesus, and I loose what I want to happen in the name of Jesus. And he goes, well, that's not what that means. You want to argue? I got 35 years of success in that. Who are you to say you had 35 years of success in that? How arrogant are you? No, I'm testifying. I'm sharing my faith with you that for 35 or longer than that, I've taken the word of God that whatsoever you bind is bound, and then whatsoever you loose is loose, and it works. I'm not being arrogant. I'm telling you the truth. I'm humbling myself before God and saying that the word works when you put it in your mouth and you speak it in faith. But if you don't have any faith, how's it going to work? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And I can't get faith one scripture per week. I'm trying to think of what it is. Give me the first word. Oh, faith. Okay, thank you. 10:17. Well, I don't put numbers on them. I don't put the numbers on them. I just say them. Okay, I know the numbers. Thank you. She's speaking her faith. You know the numbers. Okay. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So therefore, and you know, the amplification of my voice. To be honest with you, I enjoy it. I enjoy amplifying. Because I don't get to sing. They don't let me sing. If you hear me out there, I'm amplifying. She said I could sing if I want to. Hand me that mic. I'll sing right now. I'm just kidding. No, and you guys, that's not my calling. And so I stay with my calling. But amplification, I've watched lots and lots of great preachers, and they do amplify. Maybe not yell, but they amplify. And, you know, sometimes they'll get real quiet. And when they get quiet, it's dig in and pay attention. Or I'll blare it out so that you get it and you get it once, right? You get it loud and clear. So I don't have a problem. I mean, right now, if I was in, you know, the typical churches, they probably go, what, dude, what are you yelling for? And what, you know, who uses the word of God the way you do? But the point is, I can testify before anybody and everybody that I know the word works. I know that faith comes by hearing the word, and that I, to the best of my ability, live this life of the word of God. Somebody says, well, you're a pastor, you're supposed to. And I agree. But so are you. We're all called to be doers. Jesus said, be doers of the word and not hearers. I don't know if that was Jesus, but somebody said it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Job 22:28. Decree a thing,
and it shall be established unto you.
So God's light will shine on all your ways. You decree a thing. What are you decreeing? Well, if you're smart, you're decreeing the word of God. What does God say? Say that. Decree a thing, and it will be established. Why? Because God's word works.
It works.
It's the truth.
I'm staying with you for a few minutes here.
Into a situation. You're speaking truth to your circumstances. Isn't that what Jesus said? Speak to the mountain. Be removed. What's the mountain? Whatever the problem is in your life, speak
isn't,
to
isn't
it.
That interesting that most of Christianity just goes right by that?
Yeah. Which is, you know what that is? That's the enemy keeping people blind to the most powerful truth in Scripture. What did God do? He spoke the worlds into existence. What did Jesus do? He spoke to things. He commanded healing. He commanded deliverance. He spoke. God spoke. Jesus spoke. We're supposed to speak. Why don't people do it? Why did the enemy come so hard against that message when people started to get the revelation of it? Because it's the power of God to not only set you free, but to set things free
all right.
around
all right.
you. Make a
Give difference. Us chapter and verse. Okay. What did Jesus say? Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but believe that the things that they say will come to pass, they shall have whatsoever they say. Okay, so
Mark 11,
you believe that? Jesus said so? Yes, we believe it.
We have lived our life on it.
Absolutely. Speak to the mountain. That's why you hear us say it all the time. Speak to your mountain. Your mountain is the difficulties, the negativities, the situations, the or desires of your heart, the things that you know God wants you to experience and have in your life. Speak to the mountain. Call those things which be not as though they were.
It doesn't happen overnight. And the first time you go to bind something, you're thinking in your own head, that sounds stupid, nothing's going to happen. Because the first time you step out in things, takes a while to build your own faith in what you're saying. And pretty soon, chaos erupts in front of you, and you speak to that chaos. You command it to shut up and cease and desist in the name of Jesus, and boom, it stops.
Chaos in your own life, too. First in
Absolutely.
Your life.
You
practice on yourself. The chaos that's going on in my mind, I'm being attacked in my mind. I speak to the mountain. And I command it to be still. Be still. Be healed. Be delivered. Be set free. Speak to yourself. Declare the word of God over yourself. Do this for your life. And when you start to go, wow, life is good.
Start doing it.
And you start doing it
right around you.
To your children,
your family,
your
kids,
and your work coworkers. Not out loud. You don't say, I bind you. I don't say that to my. I don't say that to you guys.
If you have believers in your life, and they're going through a situation, you can say, can I pray for you? And then you step out and you pray for them.
And you bind the problem.
What we do
and you loose the solution.
What we do to each other all the time. And what we do sometimes to you. Because a lot of you could raise your hand and go, yep, that's happened to me. Is you start telling me about a problem. You start talking to Pastor Steve. And all of a sudden, we'll grab your hand. In the name of Jesus, I bind that.
Amen.
And I pray for you to be healed or whatever it is. We do it to each other all the time. That's not what the Bible says. Come over to our house. If we accidentally say something that the Bible disagrees with, the Bible's the source of truth, and that's what we stand
be
on.
Ye
and we
doers
hold each
of the
other
word.
Accountable.
Absolutely.
Find somebody you can be accountable with. Find somebody that's not.
Somebody who believes up here, not somebody who believes down here.
Some of you do have it. God's looking for saints, children that know who they are. They're not afraid of who they are. We can be secret weapons in the kingdom of God. We can be secret agents in the kingdom of God. Wherever you are, there's no qualification other than
we don't need to make a scene. You don't have to. This can be private. Many of you already know this, and you do it, and you do it regularly. But if I need to, under my breath, I take authority over that situation. I bind it, and I cast it out, and I believe that something good will happen, and I pray something good to happen. Okay, I'll say that under my breath, and no one has to know.
Lose the peace of God. A lot of times it's whatever the situation demands. Here's a good way to think about it. If it's not in heaven, heaven's perfect, heaven's beautiful,
right.
There's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no rebellion, there's no enemy, there's no chaos, there's no confusion. That's a good one
That's a good one.
Where confusion is, there's every evil work. So bind confusion. If
bind
someone's
it.
Confused or if you're confused, I bind this confusion in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, you've not given me a
spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Hallelujah! I'm out with that one.
All right.
See, you guys, we talked ourselves into a positive situation where he's given us the spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And we can start there, even if someone's probably in your life has said, you're crazy. Well, you know what?
I know it.
God has given me the spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. In Jesus' name.
Amen. It does not matter. I mean, like Pastor Steve said, you don't just make a fool out of yourself or disgrace the kingdom of God. But when you have an opportunity to pray, when you have an opportunity to speak truth, we speak truth. We speak life. And if you're facing a really tough situation, I can think of something right now. Someone at work, someone was facing a work situation, and we got some people together, and we spoke life over it. And we bound the enemy and commanded it to stop, cease and desist. In Jesus' name, always in Jesus' name. But if you know that it's not in heaven, then you can bind what's not in heaven that is manifesting itself on the earth, and you can lose the peace of God, the love of God, the comfort of God, whatever it is that you need to lose. So we'll close up the service. I don't know, can all of you guys smell that food that has been cooking all throughout the service? That's the one situation of having lunches right after church sometimes, is it smells so good. Anyway, so we're going to serve lunch. You're welcome to stay. We hope that you will stay. It's always fun. Morgan's graduation, Dolores' daughter Morgan, her graduation from college, the celebration is next Sunday after church. And so you are welcome to stay and celebrate. Morgan, Dolores would appreciate very much if you would let her know if you are planning on staying, because unfortunately, this is kind of true to form, but people don't do a very good job of RSVPing anymore. And you are more than welcome to stay, especially those who know and love Morgan. She's kind of grown up before us. And so if you want to stay, you're welcome to stay. We'll have lunch. It'll be a great time. Men's group will be Saturday, the 6th of June. Ladies, we're going to meet on the 13th of June. Revelation class, the 20th of June. And then you got to save the date for the church picnic, which will be at Moore Lake this year. So we're going to switch locations. They have a beautiful, whatever they call it, new building with nice bathrooms. That's what we'll call it, a new building with nice bathrooms and a beautiful place to do a water baptism if you need that. So that's coming up on Saturday, the 11th of July. And then we get food every week or almost every week and put it out on the table out there. This week there are some blocks of Gouda cheese that still have the whatever they call that on the outside. It looks like official nice stuff. Basically, not the cheaper stuff. This is like good cheese. So if you're a Gouda cheese fan, there's a few of those in the refrigerator up front. You can help yourself. Okay, we are going to receive the offering, and we did not do the prayer of salvation. We should have done that first before we did anything else. So my apologies for that. I will do it right now. First step in everything, anything and everything. You got to know that Jesus is your Savior, and he needs to be the Lord of your life. I went to church, grew up going to church. I believed Jesus died on the cross and all that. I just didn't know that he wanted to be the Lord of my life and that I needed to surrender me. And when I found that out, truthfully, I was a little mad that I went to church all those years and didn't totally get the fact that you could have a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm like, why didn't they tell me the truth? They did, to the best of their ability. But when you make that decision to be all in, that's when life starts. That's when true life starts. If anybody here, anybody watching, if you need to go all in on God, today's the day. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. So let's just pray this together. And as we do, if you mean it from your heart, even if you said it 100 times before, but you never really meaned it. I don't even know if I said that right. Melissa's shaking her head at me like, I don't think that's how you say that. Whatever, Miss English back there. You got to go all in. If you mean it, you'll have a miracle. And that's the truth. Father God, in Jesus' name, let's say it together. I'm all in. I surrender. I believe. Jesus, you are my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. Come into my heart. Come into my life. With your help, I'm going to live for you. All in. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll finish by receiving the offering this morning. And, you know, when I gave my life to the Lord a long time ago, man, it's been 40 years. I didn't even think I was old enough to say that. But I am. I never looked back. And I remember thinking, okay, whatever that pastor says, that's what I'm going to do, because I wanted to be all in. And I heard about tithing. And God opening the windows of heaven for me and rebuking the devourer for my sake. And I thought, that actually sounds pretty good. And I thought to myself, well, I used to go out a lot on the weekends and spend a lot of money. And then I would tip God once in a while if I went to church with my parents, you know. I thought, I can do that. I can give God 10%. If that's part of being a sold out Christian, then that's what I'm going to do. Because if I do that, I'm stepping into kingdom finance, not the world's finance. And I have never looked back. God has opened doors. God's rebuked the devourer for my sake. Everything that the Bible promises that comes along with God meeting my needs, he's done in abundance. And as you develop a life of generosity and giving, as you grow in your faith and you realize that this life is not about you anyway, Charlie Brown, it's about the people around you. It's about being a resource for the kingdom. That your life takes on a whole new meaning. You couldn't talk me out of it. I don't care what naysayers have to say. I've heard it all. I see it in Scripture. I've believed it, and I've lived it for 40 years. That's some pretty good fruit. And we are all sitting in this place because of everything that Pastor Steve has said that we've done, and those around us that God has brought us to be a part of this. God's done it. God's done it in us, through us, for us, and we'll continue in Jesus' name. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of giving. Lord, we know that it's from our heart and that you want cheerful, prompt to do it givers. So, Father, if people haven't stepped out in their giving, haven't been quite faithful in their offerings, Lord, I pray that you would help them to know the benefit of your kingdom finances, that they'd seek it out in Scripture, that they would have faith to believe what your word says on the subject, and not just take my word for it or even my testimony. Thank you, Father, for meeting the needs of your people, meeting the needs of this church. Thank you for the ministries that we get to support as a congregation. Father, we pray for them to have their needs met, to walk in abundance and no lack. And we thank you for abundance in our people's lives and in this church, and no lack, in Jesus' name. Amen.